Adi Katre, So at the end of chapter 6 of Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna concludes his explanation of the yoga ladder. In the first 6 chapters, Lord Krishna has been describing different processes of yoga, beginning at the bottom of the yoga ladder with karmakanda, that performing activities to get some fruitive result, to enjoy the result. Krishna talked to Arjuna, telling him that if you fight this battle, even if you're killed in the battle, it will open the doors to heaven, you'll be able to enter into heaven. This is an example of Krishna speaking on the platform of Karmakanda. You know, of course, Krishna speaks on many different platforms. That's the bottom of the ladder, Karmakanda. Krishna is telling Arjuna, if you fight, even if you're killed, you'll go to heaven. Because the Kshatriya who gives up his life on the battlefield becomes eligible to enter into heaven. Krishna also spoke on other levels, Karma Yoga, Dhyana Yoga, Dhyana Yoga, the Asanga Yoga system was explained. And then at the end of the sixth chapter, Krishna concluded that of all yogas, the highest yogi is the one who is absorbed in thinking of him. Yogi namapi sarvesham madhyate antaratmana. Shradavan pajate yomam same yutakamo mata. Yogi uttama, the highest yogi, is the one who has great faith and always absorbed in thinking of the Lord. So after coming to this conclusion, Krishna goes on in the next section of Bhagavad Gita, in chapter 7, to explain to us how we can think of the Lord. Because he's described the topmost yoga system is to be absorbed in thinking of the Lord. So in chapter 7, he's going on to explain to us how we can absorb our mind in thinking of him. If we're going to think of someone, you have to know about them. You have to know about their qualities. You have to know how they behave. You have to know what they like. You have to know about all of the different aspects of their character. Then you can think about them. So, in the seventh chapter, Lord Krishna goes on to explain about his different energies, the material energies. Then he explains also the position of the living entities, the jiva atma, that there is tatastha shakti, his marginal potency. And then he goes on to explain about four kinds of people who surrender to him and four kinds of people who don't. Like this, Krishna is explaining more so that we can know about him. In chapter 9, Lord Krishna gives us Raja Vidya, the most confidential knowledge. He tells us that we should always think of him, become his devotee, worship him, offer obeisances to him, and in this way, surely we will come to him. This is the most confidential knowledge. After explaining the most confidential knowledge in the 9th chapter, then in the 10th chapter, Lord Krishna is explaining this Vibhuti Yoga. The 10th chapter is Vibhuti Yoga. But before he explained about his Vibhuti, Krishna first of all spoke the Chakra Shloki Bhagavad Gita, the four essences, the four verses which are the essence of the teaching of the Bhagavad Gita, describing how he is the source of everything, everything comes from him, and then how a devotee is always engaged in discussing topics of Lord Krishna. And then he explains also in the other two verses of Chatur Shloki how he reciprocates with his pure devotee. And after Arjuna heard the Chatur Shloki Bhagavad Gita, then Arjuna was appreciative of Lord Krishna's actual position. He understood Krishna to be the Supreme Lord, and Arjuna, Hare Krishna. Arjuna then offers his prayers to Lord Krishna and describing Krishna that you are the Supreme Brahman, the Supreme Abode. Now, it's the previous way all the great sages like Asita, Devala, Narada, Vyasa, they all declared this. Now I know it also. So Arjuna could appreciate Lord Krishna's transcendental position, but he wanted Lord Krishna to explain how other people could know him. And he asked Krishna to describe how ordinary people, the common man, how they can also think of the Lord, because not everyone is able to appreciate the transcendental nature of Lord Krishna. So following this request, Lord Krishna went on to describe his vibhuti, describing how he is manifest in the material world, so many different opulent features. For example, he says, I am the taste in water. The taste of water is very unique. That nothing can equal it. No soft drink, hot or cold, or anything can equal the taste of pure water. And that taste of water is Krishna himself. Krishna is also the syllable Om in the Vedic mantra. Om is a very special sound, the one syllable mantra. We chant the Hare Krishna mantra, but the chanting of Om, the Omkara, is also equivalent to the chanting of Hare Krishna, if one can understand it properly. So that is the sound representation of Lord Krishna. It's a very special sound vibration, and that represents Lord Krishna. And in this way, Lord Krishna went on to explain many of his vibhutis in the 10th chapter. After hearing about all of these different vibhutis, actually Lord Krishna then concluded the 10th chapter by telling Arjuna, what need is there for all this detailed knowledge? With a single fragment of myself, I pervade and support this entire creation. And that single fragment, that is this super soul, Lord Krishna's expansion as Paramatma, that he pervades and supports the entire creation. So after hearing how the Lord pervades and supports the entire creation, we come to the 11th chapter. And the 11th chapter is Vishwarupa, the universal form. But Arjuna had heard that Krishna pervades and supports this entire creation with a single fragment of himself, and he heard about Krishna's opulency, but now in the 11th chapter, Arjuna wants to see these things. He wants to actually see them. One of the reasons why he wants to see them, Arjuna already was convinced of Krishna's position as God, but he wanted to establish Krishna's position so that other people would also know that if they are claiming to be God, then they also have to display the universal form. It was an important part of the Bhagavad Gita that Lord Krishna doesn't just simply speak, but he could also reveal himself. He could show his form. The universal form is something of it's a material form for people who don't have the vision to see the transcendental form of God. Those who have devotion, they can see the Lord in his transcendental form. But for the common man who does not have that devotion, they have to see the Lord through displays like the universal form, such as this Vishwarupa. This is attractive. This can capture the minds of people. So when Arjuna saw the universal form, and he saw everything in the material creation existing within that form, he saw also the feature of time within that universal form, which was just spoken a few verses previous to the verse which we read tonight. Arjuna was able to see Lord Krishna's feature as time. And Lord Krishna spoke the verse saying, time I am, destroyer of the world, and I come to claim all living beings. And Arjuna actually witnessed that. He witnessed the killing of his opponent in the battle of Kurukshetra. he saw Bhishma and Drona and Karna and all these other different kings. They were all entering into the mouth of Krishna in his Vishwarupa form. He saw how Krishna was going to destroy all of his enemies. Arjuna, seeing this form, then offered his prayers to Krishna. But Prabhupada explains that when Arjuna is offering his prayers to Krishna in this chapter, in the 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, he's offering his prayers not as Krishna's friend, Prabhupada says. He says, and this is in text 35, we read 37, so in 35 he said, Arjuna became bewildered in wonder and began to offer his obeisances to Krishna again and again. With a faltering voice, he began to pray, not as a friend, but as a devotee in wonder. A devotee in wonder. Now, in devotional service, we should understand there are varieties of relationships with Lord Krishna. There are varieties of attachment to the Lord. Specifically, there are two categories by which we can relate to the Lord. One is in the mood of Aishwarya, or awe and reverence, and the other is in the mood of Madhurya, or sweetness. Here, in this particular chapter of Bhagavad Gita, we are seeing Arjuna offer his prayers in the mood of sweetness, and not in the mood of sweetness, but in the mood of awe and reverence. Prabhupada said, a devotee in wonder. He was amazed to see that it was awesome to him. So, this mood of worship of Krishna is seen in other devotees. This mood is particularly prominent in Vaikuntha. It is not the mood of Goloka, but it is more prominent in Vaikuntha. We see in Krishna's pastimes some other devotees who also worship the Lord in wonder. Lord Krishna's mother and father, Vasudev and Devaki, when they saw their child appear when they were in the prison house of Kamsa, the Lord appeared in his four-armed form. At that time, they offered prayers to the Lord. And then they requested him to take a child's form. Later on, when Krishna killed Kamsa and released his mother and father from the prison house of Kamsa, at that time, Vasudeva and Devaki saw Krishna in his childhood form. They saw him as a child, but again, they offered prayers to him. Many of you are parents. Do you ever offer prayers to your child? We don't offer prayers to your child. You know, that would be not something you do. But Vasudev and Devaki, overwhelmed in this mood of awe and reverence by the opulence, by this awesome feature of Lord Krishna, seeing the power of Lord Krishna, they offered prayers to Lord Krishna. Vasudev and Devaki are not quite on the same level as Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda. Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda, they don't offer prayers to Krishna. Even when Mother Yashoda saw Krishna pick up Govardhan Hill and hold up Govardhan Hill for 7 days and nights, Mother Yashoda never thought her child was actually doing it. She never offered prayers. She thought, well, I know my son didn't pick up Govardhan Hill. It must have been my husband for holding it up for him. Like this, Mother Yashoda just simply saw Lord Krishna as her child. This is the effect of Yoga Maya. Yoga Maya covers up Krishna to reveal Krishna in some particular rasa, in some particular loving exchange between him and his devotee. Maya acts in different ways. For the non-devotee, Krishna appears like an ordinary person. That is Mahamaya. Just like demons like Kams or Jarasandha, they think that they can kill Krishna. They want to fight with Krishna. They think they can kill him, because they are thinking Krishna to be an ordinary person. This is the influence of Mahamaya. But Yoga Maya covers up Krishna so that the devotee sees Krishna through some of the particular rasa. Just like Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda see Krishna as their child. And Arjuna also, usually he thinks of Krishna as his friend. When he saw the universal form, then he apologizes to Krishna that, oh, please forgive me for my offenses. I did not know your actual position. Now I can understand you're actually the Lord of all creation. And this way, this is Arjuna offering prayers, seeing the Lord in wonder, the influence of the opulence is there. Another example of a devotee who was affected in this, always under the influence of Aishwarya, affected by Krishna's Aishwarya, was Queen Rukmini. Queen Rukmini was Lord Krishna's most favorite queen. Of all his 16,000 queens, he spent a lot more time with Queen Rukmini, constantly by her side. Srimad Bhagavatam tells us how Rukmini was given a parijata flower by Narada Muni. And when Rukmini got the parijata flower, which had come from heaven, was brought from heaven by Narada, then Krishna's other queen, Satyabhama, was jealous. And she thought, I also want one. In fact, I don't just want a flower, I want a whole tree. So Lord Krishna, understanding and desiring to keep his wife satisfied, arranged that he would also take her with him when he went to heaven to return. Mother Aditi's earrings had been stolen by a demon. Lord Krishna killed the demon and returned the earrings to her. At that time, he went to heaven to give them back to her, and he took Satyabhama with him. And he took also the Parijata tree to give to Satyabhama. Of course, this angered Indra. Indra became angry and fought with Lord Krishna over it, but was defeated. So Satyabhama got a tree. So Lord Krishna was thinking, he was interested to see what will Rukmini think of this. That now that Satyabhama's got a whole tree, how is Rukmini going to respond? Is she going to be jealous? Is she going to want a tree also? But Rukmini is so gentle and so much under the influence, so much aware of the opulence of Lord Krishna, that she is afraid to say anything to Lord Krishna. She's very gentle and reserved. In fact, Rukmini's nature was such that even if she would hear people speak harsh words, if she would hear people argue, get angry, and speak harshly to each other, she would be very affected, and she would even clap on the ground, faint. You know, sometimes children are like that. When they see adults argue, they become also disturbed. So like this, Rukmini had a very gentle and mild nature, and she could not stand to hear people argue. And even when she saw Satyabhama get a whole tree, she never even thought to say anything to Lord Krishna. So Lord Krishna, however, enjoyed his householder life in Dwarka. And one of his pastimes in enjoying himself as a householder, he used to enjoy getting his wife angry, having some joking words with them. He especially wanted to see Rukmini in an angry mood. He thought, Rukmini has such a beautiful face, she's so attractive, that if she will get angry, I will enjoy her beauty even more. So, Lord Krishna decided he must do something else to try to awaken this, to arouse this anger in Rukmini. So one day, when Rukmini was fanning Lord Krishna, as he sat in their palace in Dwarka, Lord Krishna began to speak to Rukmini and tell her that, you know, I'm not really a suitable husband for you. At this time, they were already grandparents. Their children had grown up and had already married and had children. So, you know, they've been married together quite a long time. They were not just newly married people or anything. However, Lord Krishna began to recount something of their history. He told Rukmini, you know, at the time when you, before you were married, there were many men who were even kings who were aspiring to marry you. And your brother Rukmini had also arranged for your marriage with one of them. They were all much greater men than me. They were all much more qualified, with good character, money, power, strength, education, so many things to make them eligible to be a good husband for you. I don't think you did the right thing marrying me. I think you made a big mistake. And Lord Krishna went on to explain so many things. He said, you know, I'm not qualified. I had to run away from the king. I had to build my home in the sea because I was afraid of them. I didn't want them to come. And like this, and he said, I'm also, you know, I don't have a very bad upbringing. You're from the city. You're used to living in the big city. I'm from a village. I'm just a village boy. My father just raised cows. But you're the daughter of a king. In so many ways, we're not meant for each other. And Lord Krishna went on to elaborate so many times how he was not suitable and how it would be better if she would go and marry somebody else. And when Rukmini was hearing this, she did not say anything, but she just froze. Her body stiffened and she bit her bottom lip. Her body became all stiff and it fell to the ground. Just like a banana tree falls in a wind, when there's a strong wind. So when Rukmini fell on the ground like this, then Krishna himself was feeling sorry for her. He regretted that he'd spoken in this way, and he immediately rose up and picked her up, and then comforted her, said sweet words, how he was always only joking and he didn't mean it and he just wanted to see her angry in this way. So this pastime, this is recounted to show the mood of Rukmini in relation to Krishna. How she was so respectful. She could not argue with Krishna. It was not her nature to challenge him in any way. This is something of the mood of Aishwarya, where there is this opulent. In Chaitanya Lila, we see also this kind of exchange between Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees. We see some different devotees deal with Lord Chaitanya in different ways. For example, Gadadhar Pandit is understood to be an expansion of Srimati Radharani, a devotee in the mood of Radharani. But his mood is not quite like Radharani as we would know it, but it is more in the mood of Rukmini, that he is Radha, but in the mood of Rukmini. Because Gadadhar would never argue with Lord Chaitanya. He was always afraid and thinking that Lord Chaitanya would chastise him for something. He was always very careful and very respectful in his dealings with Lord Chaitanya. On the other hand, Jagadananda Pandit was quite different. Now, Jagadananda Pandit also enjoyed a loving relationship with Lord Chaitanya, but in a very different mood. Because Jagadananda Pandit, his mood was more like the mood of Satyabhama, that he would argue with Lord Chaitanya. Chaitanya Charitamrita describes how Jagadananda Pandit would bring different gifts to offer to Lord Chaitanya. For example, on one occasion, he prepared a very expensive aromatic oil, and he wanted to offer this oil to Lord Chaitanya and smear it on his body. It was very costly, and he prepared it only with a great endeavor, but Lord Chaitanya flatly refused and said, "I'm in the renounced order of life. I can't put something like that on my body. Don't be ridiculous." So Jagadananda Pandit was very upset. He was so much upset because Lord Chaitanya wouldn't take the oil. He went outside. He said, "All right, don't take it then. I won't give it to you." He went outside and he smashed it on the ground. Threw the flask on the ground and broke it and let the oil just run on the ground. And then he went in his room, locked the door, and stayed there for 3 days fasting. So Lord Chaitanya was a little disturbed to see this behavior. In their dealings, Lord Chaitanya had to be a little careful because he thought, if I get him angry again, he may fast for another 3 days. He didn't want him to do that. In order to get him to break his fast, Lord Chaitanya had to tell Jagadananda Pandit, "All right, Jagat, come out. Come on, you can come and cook for me. Whatever you cook today, I will eat." Only in this way he could persuade Jagadananda Pandit to break his fast and come out. So Jagadananda Pandit had a different mood. You see, his mood was very... Another time Jagadananda Pandit brought up, he saw Lord Chaitanya, his body was becoming very frail and thin, and he was sleeping on the floor. So he knew that it must be very uncomfortable, his bones rubbing on the floor. So he made a very nice quilt, a very fancy, opulent quilt, and gave it to Lord Chaitanya. But Lord Chaitanya refused to accept it and said, "No, I cannot use this. I'm in the renounced order of life. Do you want to make a mockery out of me by having me sleep on such an opulent thing as this quilt?" But Lord Chaitanya was also worried that Jagadananda Pandit would get upset again. So Swarup Damodar, his secretary, resolved the problem by preparing a less opulent quilt. He took some cloth and he simply stuffed it with leaves. And then he offered this to Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya agreed to accept that so that Jagadananda Pandit would not get too upset. So, like this, these are some examples of how a devotee may be affected by the opulence of the Lord. Worship of the Lord in Aishwarya. aware of Aishwarya. This is not as pleasing to the Lord as the mood of Vrindavan, where there is more madhurya, more sweetness. The dealing between Lord Krishna and the cowherd boyfriend, how they can play with each other, fight with each other. Lord Krishna can even be defeated by the cowherd boyfriend, his cowherd boyfriend. And he will carry them on his back. You know, to touch the Lord with our feet, we think of it as an offense. But these cowherd boys are playing with Krishna every day, and they can climb on Krishna's back. They don't think anything of touching the Lord with their feet. And Krishna enjoys these feelings. He enjoys this mood more than this reverential worship which is offered. Mother Yashoda also displays this mood of sweetness. She can run after Krishna, chase him, catch him, and tie him up, as she does in Damodara Leela. This is only possible by a devotee who is attached to the Lord in this mood of madhurya, sweetness. So there is variety in these different relationships with the Lord. Spiritual life is not without variety. Impersonalists, they cannot appreciate these feelings. They simply see everything in terms of oneness, the oneness of Brahman. Therefore, the impersonal philosophy is very dry. There's no variety, no variegatedness, just simply oneness. And that is why the impersonalists cannot remain in the spiritual world, but they fall back again into the material world. Because there's no variety. Where there's no variety, there is no activity. But here, in Bhagavad Gita, we're seeing some variety. We're seeing Krishna relate to his devotees in different ways. In the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna and Arjuna were friends. But then, as they came into the middle of the battlefield, Arjuna became overwhelmed by the scene on the battlefield, and he surrendered to Lord Krishna and asked Lord Krishna to accept him as his student. Here, now, in this section in Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna has understood Krishna as not just simply a friend who becomes his teacher, but he is the Supreme Lord. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, greater even than Brahma and Shiva. Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva are very exalted personalities, but even they are subordinate to the direction, to the position of Lord Sri Krishna. Lord Brahma describes in his own prayers, Govindam Adipursham Tamaham Vajami, that I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord. Govinda is also Krishna. Lord Shiva is known as Vaishnavam Yathashambhu, the greatest Vaishnava. Lord Shiva is on a very elevated position, higher than Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma is a living entity, an ordinary Jiva, but Lord Shiva is on a higher position. He is almost God. Almost God. The relationship between Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu being like that between yogurt and milk. The milk can be made into yogurt, but yogurt cannot become milk. In the same way, Lord Vishnu can transform himself into Lord Shiva, but Lord Shiva cannot become Lord Vishnu. So in this prayer which we read today, offered by Arjuna, Arjuna prays to Brahma, or he prays to Lord Krishna rather, that you are the God of all gods. You are above even Lord Brahma. Sometimes we, nowadays you don't hear it so often, but I remember some years, many years back, in the early years of our movement, we were singing one mantra, Brahma Bole Chaturmukhe Krishna Krishna Hare Hare Mahadevo Panchamukhi Rama Rama Hare Hare. The four faces of Lord Brahma, they are chanting the name Krishna Krishna Hare Hare. And the five faces of Lord Shiva, they are chanting the name Rama Rama Hare Hare. In this way, we understand this absolute, the supreme position of Lord Krishna over even great exalted demigods. So Arjuna is offering his prayers to Krishna in this mood, that you are greater than all of these beings. This is, again, this is the effect of this seeing this opulent display of Lord Krishna, seeing the universal form. Although Arjuna saw this universal form, he was not actually happy to see it, and he then, later on in this chapter of Bhagavad Gita, we hear Arjuna request Krishna to assume his original two-handed form. And it is the two-handed form which is the original supreme form, which is the most pleasing to the devotee. Krishna in his Shamsundar form. The other aspects, other forms like forearm form, the universal form, there's more display of opulence. So where there is opulence, then there is less sweetness. You cannot have both. Where there is sweetness, there will be less influence of opulence. In the spiritual, in Goloka Vrindavan, which is the supreme abode of the spiritual world, there is also opulence, but it's of a very special nature. And this was discussed in the time of Rath Yatra between Srivas Thakur and Swarup Damodar Goswami. Srivas Thakur appears in Pachatapa as an expansion from Narada Muni, in the mood of Narada Muni, who is more in the Vaikuntha realm. However, Swarup Damodar is an intimate associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he is the Gopi Lalita. So, Srimad Thakur was watching the Hara Panchami ceremony, and he saw the goddess of fortune, and he said, just look at the opulence of Mother Lakshmi. Just see how wonderful, how powerful, how great, how awesome her opulence is. But Swarup Damodar told him, my dear Srivast, don't you know the opulence of Goloka Vrindavan? That in Vrindavan, Goloka Vrindavan, every cow is a Kamadenu cow. Every tree is a Kalpavriksha tree. And every speck of dust is Chintamani. This is the opulence of Goloka Vrindavan. That every tree is a Kalpavriksha tree, that it can fulfill any desire. But the nature of the devotees in Goloka is they simply desire fruit and flowers to offer to the Lord. They don't want opulence to offer to the Lord. They want to offer the Lord flowers and fruit, more pleasing things to the Lord, because they know that they're simply opulent, gold, wealth, they will create distance. It will create a distance between the Lord and the living entity. They enjoy the sweetness, the intimacy of Goloka. Although the cows are Kamadenu cows, they simply want milk, and they will use the milk to prepare nice offerings for the Lord, for the worship of Krishna. This is the nature of Goloka. It is very opulent, but the devotees don't think about opulence. They're so absorbed in the mood of sweetness, in the mood of sweet feelings, intimate feelings with Lord Krishna. So, as devotees following in the line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you know, we want to understand and appreciate these different moods. We see, for example, in other sampradayas, there is opulence. For example, Sri Vaishnava temples, you can see how the Lord is worshipped there with great opulence. They will make very, very costly dresses for the Lord with very costly jewels and different ornaments, all to decorate the Lord. But in Vrindavan, you see the Lord is worshipped with peacock feathers and flowers. It's a different mood. Now it's interesting to note that Srila Prabhupada told us, he instructed us, that we should worship the Lord in the mood of Lakshmi Narayan. That in our temple, we worship Radha and Krishna. We're not worshipping Lakshmi Narayan, but we worship Radha and Krishna in the mood of Lakshmi Narayan. In other words, the opulent mood is there. Why did Prabhupada request us to do this? Because it will be more appreciated by common people. And we see in general that when people come to the temple, they appreciate the beauty of the deity. That we make very nice dresses for them, and there's some opulence there. Although we worship the forms of Radha and Krishna, we worship them with some opulence, because this will be more appreciated by ordinary people. Not everyone can appreciate the transcendental form of the Lord in Goloka Vrindavan. So these are some points in relation to this verse tonight. We are hearing this prayer by Arjuna. Arjuna is praying to Lord Krishna, describing Krishna's supreme position over everyone. Are there any questions or comments?
Yes, Maharaj.
Yes, Prabhu.
Lord Narayana or Lord Vishnu, he worships with reference of Tulsi Maharani.
With Tulsi Maharani?
Yeah, Tulsi is offered to their Lordship to give them a lot of things. But Tulsi is also there in the Goloka.
Is Tulsi also there in Goloka?
Offered to the lot of.
Yes, definitely.
But is it not Aishwarya Bhav or a different Bhav when we offer
Krishna? Well, Prabhupada has certainly instructed us, you know, it's certainly the custom to offer Tulsi to the Lord's feet of Lord Krishna. And we know, not only in ISKCON temples, and other temples also, it is done. Yes. Tulsi is very dear, not only to Lord Vishnu, but also to Lord Krishna. Lord Krishna is satisfied only when the Tulsi leaf is there on the offering. Yes, so the certainly it's proper to place Tulsi leaf on Lord Krishna's lotus feet. Another question?
Is there any mention anywhere other that Vishnu Deva was living in the forest, but did he take another birth?
Did Vishnu Deva take another birth? Well, we know that Vishnu Deva is one of the eight Vasus who has come in to take part in this particular pastime of Lord Krishna. And at the time of his leaving the world, Bhishma Dev was so fortunate that he could have Lord Krishna personally present. And he was able to behold the form of Lord Krishna, and he was able to recount beautiful memories of Lord Krishna. Not only Lord Krishna on the battlefield, but also describing some of Lord Krishna's earlier pastimes, even in Vrindavan. So, it seems, you know, that Bhishmadev was definitely not going to take another one, because he, not only did he have Lord Krishna present, but he also waited for the auspicious time, for the auspicious positions of the planets, for him to depart from the world, so that he did not need to come back. Right? Yes, Prabhu? What is the edge of the Maha Mantra over Om? Why do we chant Hare Krishna rather than Om? Because we are following Lord Chaitanya. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chanted Hare Krishna, chanted the name of the Lord. It is also much easier to chant the Hare Krishna Mantra than to simply chant Om. And another problem is that when people chant Om, they become attached to the impersonal conception of God. They fail to realize that Om is simply the sound representation of God, and they think that the prana omkara is the ultimate absolute truth. But it's only some aspect of the Lord. It is not totally describing everything. It is the sound representation of the Lord, but it is not the problem. People, the impersonalists, they also become attached to this omkara. It is not the manner in which we can develop the loving relationship for the Lord by simply chanting Om. We want to be able to develop the same feeling for the Lord from just chanting Om. Therefore, we chant the Hare Krishna Mantra. Prabhupada taught us that we should not disrespect people for chanting Om. But we should examine their understanding. Usually we find that the people who chant Om are all impersonalists and simply only think of the Lord as being impersonal. So that is the danger, that it's very difficult to have a personal conception of the Lord from chanting that mantra. Chanting Hare Krishna is not different from chanting Radha Krishna. And we can very clearly understand the personal nature of the Lord. Hare Krishna mantra comes from the Brihadnaradiya Purana? Or Kali Santara Upanishad. Kali Santara Upanishad. The Kali Santara Upanishad states, Iti Sodasha Kam Nam Nam Kali Kamasha Nashanam Matapra Taropaya Sarva Veshu Krishate. So these 16 words can cleanse all the dirt from the heart. And what are these 16 words? Yes, this Kali Santara Upanishad, this is a Vedic scripture. So, you know, even us, the other sampradayas, other brahmanas, vaishnavas, if they request you, why you're chanting Hare Krishna, you can tell them on the authority of the Kali Santara Upanishad. And they will say, oh yes, oh very good. The Upanishad, the Vedic scripture. Everyone has to accept. So, the chanting of Hare Krishna is authorized. When Lord Chaitanya, as we're following, Lord Chaitanya's line, we are chanting, as he chanted. सौ धन्य होता हूँ ना। श्रीमद् भागवत गीता की जय।